Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, praise the Lord, and good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word this evening. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this your word, Father, so that we can learn of the truth, the strength, and the power of thy word, Father, to move us to walk upright in righteousness and holiness, according to your will and your way, doing the work that you call upon us to do. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study tonight, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We ended with 2 Thessalonians, and we had gotten through the first 7 verses of 1 Timothy. But before I get back into Timothy tonight, into the scripture there, the study, I want to share a little something with you about this letter of Timothy. I know that most don't really know and understand a lot of things about these letters, because a lot of them don't have Bibles that has that. But you know, in Timothy chapter 1, you get into the places where and tells us about the writer, why he wrote, and all of this. We find here that Paul wrote 1 Timothy from Macedonia in and around 62 or 63 A.D. And he sent the letter to Timothy whom he had left at Ephesus. And he wrote to encourage Timothy in his responsibility for overseeing the work of the Ephesian church and possibly the other churches of the Providence of Asia. And it is possible that he wrote the epistle also from Philippi after being released from his first imprisonment at Rome. But we know it was around the time of his first imprisonment. Now, and one of the main reasons for that was because 1 Timothy lays the foundation for ordaining elders in the local church. It provides an apostolic guideline for ordaining men to the sacred office of the church. In essence, it is a leadership manual for church organization and administration. Its tone is practical and spiritual. Its theme is that of conduct in the church of the living God. Christ is presented in this epistle as the mediator between God and men. As such, he is the Savior of all men who believe in him. He is the Lord of the church to whom Timothy is responsible as an under shepherd. Thus, the young pastor is to fulfill his duty in light of God's authority. And the term bishop is used, the term elder, and refers to the same office. Now, the office of deacon, which is a servant, is a different office, but with similar qualifications. And we'll be getting into that very, very shortly. Probably about sometime tomorrow that we're going to be getting into that. Because you see, Timothy is a good foundation for the churches of today. Now, we had dropped off with verse 7. We finished through that. And I'm going to pick up here with 6 and 7, because that will lead us into the starting of this evening. 6, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. 7, designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Now you see there where we left off, he was talking about those that are teaching contrary to this word of Almighty God and according to the gospel. So we're going to pick up here now with verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers, the murders of mothers, and for manslayers, 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Those two verses, 9 and 10, are filled with a lot of knowledge that is not being used in most of our churches or among those that call themselves the children of God today. You stay away from it. But one day, they and those that will follow that type of teaching will find out how wrong they have been. And they'll also find out that it's too late for them to do anything about it. Now, there in 9 and 10, there's something about the law. And the law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not valid for a righteous person. It implies that the heretics of verses 6 and 7 are misusing the law, trying to impose it on the Christians. And properly used, the law benefits unbelievers in pointing out their sin. You see, when the law is used in the right way and correctly, it is helpful in letting the unbelievers and the sinners know what is right and what is wrong, what is sin and what's not. It helps in leading them to Christ. And the lawless are criminals. Well, even man-made laws today, that's what it's made for. It's for those that are criminals and doing things against the communities and all, and against man and mankind that they should not be doing. Now, the disobedient are the rebellious. The ungodly are the godless that is showing no reverence for God. Sinners are those failing to measure up to divine standards. The unholy are impure. You see, those words we were reading as we come through those verses, we're finding out just what they refer to. And the unholy are impure. Profane means defiling sacred things. Whoremongers are fornicators. Them that defile themselves with mankind are homosexuals. You see, it doesn't pull any punches. It lays it straight. But today, they don't want to get up and preach this kind of word in the church. Men stealers or kidnappers. And sound doctrine means healthy teaching. The Bible, properly taught, is a sort of spiritual medicine that heals man's diseased moral nature, making him spiritually and infinitely sound and healthy. There's a whole lot in them two verses. And you see, that's why we need to have the time to study. And yet so many of us don't want to take that time. And we don't even want to listen to it when others are willing to teach it. Think about that. I know I have them that will start with me at the beginning of our study. But along the line, they quit listening. Think about that. One day, they could have just missed something that might have kept them out of a lot of trouble. All right, now verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This glorious gospel of the blessed God means the gospel about the character of the blessed God. The law reveals man's sinful character, but the gospel discloses God's salvation from sin and from the law's curse. The blessed God, all blessings and happiness are in God, and he bestows them upon those embracing his gospel. Now, verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, so that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul there is letting us know who put him in the ministry. And Christ provided all the enablement required so that Paul could fulfill his apostolic duties. 13. Was therefore a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And we know that Paul actually thought he was doing God's work when he was going after those that were following the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing them back in imprisonment and death, because he was under and had been schooled under the Mosaic law. But you see, and even after Christ had left the earth, gone back to heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit, Paul was still after those that were trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ until he met him on the road to Damascus. Now, 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Grace was exceeding abundant. It was more abundant. Christ's undeserved favor far outweighed Paul's previous sinful life. And with faith and love, God's grace brought about faith in Paul, in contrast to his former unbelief, and it also produced love in him, in contrast to his previous blaspheming, persecution, and violence in and to the church, which refers to faith. Paul's faith and trust is in Christ Jesus. And we know from the study of coming this far and the study we have done of Paul's work, Paul was standing as strong or maybe stronger with the Lord Jesus than he had stood against him. But he was doing exactly what he was led to do. And he was speaking exactly as the Holy Spirit gave him the words to speak. And that's what we all should be doing in our lives, is in accordance with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. All right, now, 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what Paul is saying. And this chief denotes rank or degree. Paul views himself as the foremost of sinners, of whom he says, I am chief. In other words, the worst because of what he had done. But you see, God knew how he would stand. He knows how each one of us will accept him, whether we will stand as he wants us to stand or whether we won't. And there are a lot that start out good, but they allow Satan to come in and give them influence and all that pulls them away from the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then they end up lost and undone. A lot of them go on believing that they have got heaven made their home, and they are out teaching things they should not be teaching. Because you see, Satan portrayed himself as an angel of light, and yet look where he's at. And we're told in his word that a lot of his will stand and proclaim to be leaders of the gospel that are not and that are teaching the wrong things. Now, 15, Paul will let us know that he was the worst of sinners. 16, howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life ever left. And you know, we could read this verse, but I obtained mercy for this reason, that in my case, as the worst sinner, Christ Jesus might demonstrate the fullest of patience as an example for those about to believe on him for eternal life. Paul's conversion encourages other sinners, since Christ has already saved the worst sinner. He can save those less sinners. In other words, Paul is letting them know he's already saved the worst sinner. So now you that are least of all, he can sure save you. Now, 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Think about that for just a moment. What he is trying to get across there to you and I. Now, Well, 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. This charge that he's given, this charge or this command, and this refers to the command to forbid the teaching of false doctrine and the prophecies which went before on thee. The prophecies that pointed to, as he put it, pointed to you. These were divine revelations given through New Testament prophets, which pointed out to Paul that Timothy was to be his co-worker. You see, he's even following the leading of the Spirit for his co-worker. And we all need to do this. Sometimes we don't, because sometimes we see one and we get a feeling that they are good and that they need to be elevated in stature and in knowledge. And sometimes that don't work. We find them falling away. Now, 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Faith is used in two different ways in this verse. The first, faith is subject. It's subjective, referring to Timothy's own personal trust or faith in God. Holding faith means that he is to maintain his confidence in God. And the second faith is objective, referring to the body of revealed truth believed by the church, that is the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And the last half of verse 19 may be translated, which is conscience. Some have repudiated, have become shipwrecked, concerning the faith because some rejected their inner moral voice of conscience, and they have strayed far from the truth of God into theological hearsay. Often religious error has its roots in moral rather than intellectual causes. He's been very, very plain about what he is passing on to you and I. Now, the last verse of chapter 1, 20. Whom is Hymenaeus and Alexandra, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme? And we are told that he delivered them to Satan, that the two, they were heretics, mentioned were excommunicated from the church, and the supernatural infliction of corporal suffering are both, you see, he put it through it all and excommunicated them from, he called them heretics. And the way they was blaspheming the things of Almighty God. And these are things that we are told not to do. But you see, and today we have those that are out there doing the very same thing. And they're walking and they're asking for people to hold them in high esteem, proclaiming to be things they are not. I want you to think about what we studied this evening. And if you want, go back and read it again yourself. Because I want you to know, it's not my word. It's God's word. It is gift to me by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Once again, we've come to the end of this study, and we have closed your word. I thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that forgave my sins. I thank you, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes my life worth living and makes it of use, not only to myself, but to those around me. And we'll make it to be used for you, Father, according to what you will call upon it to do. Now, Father, pray for Israel and Jerusalem to have peace. But Father, even more than that, we pray that they all come out from behind the law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as their Messiah, so that Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has walked so far away, and the evil that is in it, that has been brought upon this land and our people by those that are sitting in our government, and in high places were ready to be made to remove them from office and to replace them with those that are walking in righteousness, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love the church and your people, and love this country. And that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those, Father, that's on my heart, my mind, always. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy and Tom and Jacob, Bobby, Millie Johnson, James Taylor, my wife, myself, all of my family, and all of their family, Father, because we all have family members that are not living right. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to work among our families. Help to bring them out of darkness and into light, and that light being Jesus. And I lift up Courtney and Shane, Father, this young couple that are not living rightly. I pray that the Holy Spirit can work with them, Father, and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so they not be lost either, Father. Father, we pray for all the saints, wherever they are in the world, that the Holy Spirit stays with them, takes care of them, keeps them in health, Father, sees to their needs, and works with them to spread this gospel throughout the world, so that the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, can come back to this church sooner than what most we need. Now, Father, help our unbelief to make our belief and faith strong to where we stand, Father, where you put us, and where you want us to be. This is my prayer this evening, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I pray that you have a good evening and a blessed night, and that we can all be together again some morning at 10 a.m. Good night, all.